Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Scary, scary hitter right here. 9-7 Red Sox, the pitch. Baez drives one high and deep. You got to be kidding. It's deep to left field, and it is out of here. Another three-run homer for Javi Baez. And after all the heroics from the Red Sox, they lose it 10-9. The Javi Baez show in Detroit, a soul crusher for the Red Sox.
I can't believe they did it again, Keith.
Yeah.
Maybe I should start believing it.
You gotta be kidding.
You gotta be kidding me.
I'm with you. And boy, oh boy, did Baez know that thing was gone.
Yo, yeah.
Baez
got a hold of it.
Celebrating in the batter's box. The second that left, one of two three-run homers to put the Tigers in front. This is the walk-off for Baez last night. Red Sox led twice in extra innings, including by two runs in the 11th after a Christian Campbell two-run homer to put them up 9-7. They lose 10-9. They've dropped the first two games against the American League's best team, the Detroit Tigers, one of the best teams in baseball. And they are now back to 500.
Oh, they love it there.
22-22. The hamster wheel keeps turning. And they keep winding up at that 500 spot. And something feels very wrong with the team, whether that's Devers, whether it's something simmering under the surface like that, or the problems run much deeper, we can debate. Yeah. But there is something off with this 500 Red Sox team that we expected way more out of.
Well, and that's just it. They can't get away from it. I mean, they were 1-1 to start the year, and that just seems to be pretty apropos. And they at best get 2, 3, 4 games above 500, and then they sink right back down to it. You know, they were not too long ago 18-18, and they were in the middle of a little bit of a funk, and we thought they dug themselves out of it, right? They won 4 out of 5. You had Devers couldn't get out. Last night cooled off, but like for a while couldn't get out. AL Player of the Week.
And you win series against the Rangers and the Royals. It's like, okay, those are good teams. Red Sox are turning it around.
Even around the latest Devers drama, they were still winning games.
Yep.
And you're like, I'm sure the teammates are looking at him sideways, but he's still hitting the ball. You got good pitching performances out of Giolito and Garrett Crochet, and you're like, all right, the American League is down. They'll dig themselves out of this a little bit. And then back, I know Detroit's good. In fact, I saw something the other day. They re-released all like the win totals, like the updated win totals across Major League Baseball.
What is it?
I don't know what the number is, but the Tigers jumped the most.
Oh, okay.
The Tigers number improved by 9 from where it started the year. The Rockies, they took 17 off of it, I think. It was like the biggest drop-off from where they were at the beginning of the year.
What? They lose a game 21-0. They fired their manager.
They like just barely missed out the worst start through 30 games or whatever in baseball history. Like they're atrocious.
Yeah, nice. So they said Bud Black's not going to get fired. They lost a game 21-0. They fired Bud Black.
Yeah, see you later, Bud Black.
Hours.
Yeah, all right. But the Tigers are good, but I mean, you lose 14-2, and then you lose this game where you have the lead in extra innings is pretty demoralizing. So I don't really know if there's one thing wrong with the Red Sox. I think, you know, we've talked about Cora, and is he trying to win all these games? Is he really trying to win all these games, or is it too much of a, well, let's do something here that'll help us 3 months from now, whether it's a batter getting another at bat against a certain relief pitcher, or if it's a starter staying in a little bit longer or not walking Vlad Guerrero or whatever. I think Cora's on the list. The last two nights, I mean, it was pitching. I mean, that was pretty clear. They just didn't have it.
Hauk, you can't do anything about
it. Hauk's been a mess.
Bale wasn't great last night.
No, he wasn't.
But, I don't know, do you have to stick with Greg Weissert for a second inning? You don't have to. Cora was asked about it after the game. The only guy left in the bullpen after Weissert, unless you want to go to a starter, was Hendricks.
Yeah.
And he said he was staying away from him. But, like, what are you doing? You don't have to worry about going to anybody else when you're up two. Just close the game out. You don't have to go back to Greg Weissert. You're up two runs. Close the game out. Don't worry about the 12th inning. Worry about ending the game. So I'm with you. Cora's on the list. The Devers thing is front and center, and I just think it's representative of something's off and has been off with this team all along, and that's simmering beneath the surface. And I don't know, maybe some of it too. Jeff Passan had a big, long takeout today on Alex Bregman. I don't know if you read any of it. I wouldn't say there's a lot in there, but it's like, Bregman's their new Pedroia, and, you know, he's changing the culture in the clubhouse. And I was reading the story. I'm like, wait, He hasn't changed anything. What do you mean he's changing things in there?
They're the same as they were last year.
They're exactly the same as they've been. Bregman's a really good player.
Except now they're not living up to expectations.
Right. They're underachieving.
Last year they had no expectations.
Thank you. That's a great way to put it. Last year they overachieved. Now they're underachieving. So, like, don't tell me Bregman's changing the culture. That doesn't add up exactly.
You can say he's having a great season.
Yeah, it might not be.
He's been really good.
It might not be his fault, but if we're giving him credit for the culture, then we got to give him some blame because something in there is off. And I think, if you're asking me, it's Devers with Cora right behind him. I do not give Cora a free pass on this. I think Cora's been embarrassing on this. By the way, is he on today?
Alex Cora should be Wednesday.
He should
be,
right? Alex Cora Wednesday. Sometimes on the road, I know that shakes things up.
I think so.
But I'd have him front and center.
Yeah.
Why is your owner flying to Kansas City to meet with a player? Why is the GM coming downstairs to talk to a player? That's your job. So Devers, to me, is just, again, a horrible, horrible teammate. I haven't traded him like you have, Keith.
Yeah,
but
he gone.
He should get his ass to first base. I think that's a big problem, and I think teammates have a problem with it. But Cora's right there behind him, and the decision last night to go back to Weissert for a second inning was stupid.
Yeah, that was. So I think some of the decisions by Cora I have on the list. I think Tristan Casas, just twofold. One, horrible start to the season. So your cleanup hitter was really bad, and then you didn't have a backup. So then when he gets hurt, it's another drama with Devers. But in the meantime, it's Roman Gonzalez, Abraham Toro, Nick Sogard. I know he had a couple of knocks last night, but it's like...
Well, Sogard had a misplay at first last night, too. He did hit well, but he had a misplay at first, which
but
there's
that's a
long line of those.
Thing, right? Yep. Like you have zero backup for Casas. So just really first base, Cora, first base, Tanner Houck are some of the reasons why you're here, right? Like you're still in it. Like you're not buried. But we expected a lot better. If this team was going to win 90 games, they weren't going to be 500 through 44 games.
Tell me this. Red Sox are 4-11 in one-run games. Is that just unlucky, or does that tell a story?
I think it does tell a little bit of a story, because I think that's a spot where maybe you give credit to a manager, and then you also kind of look at the manager. You know, sort of separately, like with Missoula. Like, if your team has all these massive leads, and then your team loses all these leads, I start to look at, all right, what are you doing about it? And that's one thing. Like, some of the years the Red Sox have been good, they would have crazy numbers in close games. Now, part of that, too, is maybe you have a better bullpen than others. I don't think their bullpen is bad. Like, I think they had a stretch where they were bad. But early in the year, they were, like, one of the strengths of the team.
Yeah. I'm starting to question how good Whitlock is.
Fair.
And, you know,
and like Slayton fell apart.
Slayton,
and like,
right? Yeah. Slayton was fine last night, but Slayton was really good last night.
But he had that stretch where he literally lost three games for him.
So
in like a week.
I'm with you. I think 4-11 in one run games, that number can be a little fluky, but that's a Cora stat.
Yeah, there's some luck involved there, but wouldn't you want to see that a little bit, at least close? That's closer to 500, and then, you know, you win the other ones?
Yeah. If it's a fluky number, then by definition, I'm sure the analysts and the, you know, the front office people are looking at it and going, well, every team should be 500 in that spot, right?
Yeah.
And anything else is just kind of noise within the statistics. Well, the manager's holding you back, I think, in that spot. Last night is an example. So you can jump in on it, 617-779-7937. We'll get to some Would You Rathers coming up at 11:30 on a Would You Rather Wednesday, Pure Hoops with Terp at high noon. How do they fix it, Keith?
I mean, I would like to see... It's a lot of pressure on them, but I would like to see Anthony and Meyer with the big club, please.
It's so obvious.
Yeah.
And it's so obvious why they're not up. We have one guy who consistently texts us every day.
He's like, wow, we're drinking the Kool-Aid guy?
We're the drinking the Kool-Aid guy. Yeah. We suck up to management. I think we've consistently said ownership is manipulating service time. Management is manipulating service time on these guys. They're keeping them down artificially in the minor leagues. They called up Campbell game one. Because Campbell played ball on a contract. They're not playing ball with Anthony and Meyer, and they're keeping them in AAA in Worcester because they didn't work with the team on a contract. So I think we've consistently criticized ownership for that. I don't think this year I have the same gripe with John Henry that I've had in the past. John Henry flew to Kansas City. I actually applaud him for that. Mm-hmm. He spent money on Bregman. They traded for Crochet and extended him. Like I think there's less criticism for Henry this year personally for me, but that's one that I put on ownership and management. Why aren't these guys here?
Yeah, they should be.
They're manipulating service time, and if you start to see it, Nick pointed this out the other day, Jordan Lawler is now up with the Arizona Diamondbacks. That's a top prospect. The Cubs just called up Ballesteros. That's a top prospect.
The time is now.
The Red Sox aren't the only team doing it,
yeah.
But a lot of teams are starting to do it. This is the time where you see those kids called up. How do you fix it? You get the talented guys who you're wasting in AAA up here to spark the team and actually improve the talent level. That's how you do it.
Yeah, I agree. I think that both those guys should be up. And if one, whether they're playing first, DH, outfield, second base, figure that out.
Right.
Like, that's your issue. Figure that out.
I don't want Meyer at first. I think that's a waste. But if it gets him up here, put him at first.
Yeah, right.
If Devers won't do it,
he would do it.
If Devers won't do it, get him up here and put him at first. Yeah. It's annoying at this point.
Because this team last year was, what'd they finish? Were they 500? A couple games over 500?
They were 81 and 81.
Dead 500. Mm-hmm. So you would think, and considering that there are three big signings this offseason, well, I guess one was a trade, but there are three big acquisitions. Garrett Crochet has been great, right? A couple starts where you're like, oh, what was that? But like overall, great. Alex Bregman, great. Aroldis Chapman, much to our surprise, great.
Yeah, that one surprises me.
So you add those three guys, you would think, all right, that takes a 500 team, and that's an easy boost up, right? You have a right-handed bat who hits third, an ace, and a closer. Like, that's a pretty good offseason. But the problem is some of these other guys, right? Costas was kind of a swing guy, swung the other way. It was terrible. Jaron Duran and Tanner Houck were both all-stars last year.
Duran's been bad.
Carried the team to where they were. I mean, Houck was a Cy Young candidate at the break, and Jaron Duran was an MVP candidate for the whole year. And neither one of those guys are going to be all-stars. Houck's going to get sent down, it feels like. And Duran's been just south of fine, right? Like, he needs to be better.
Yeah, you're right. Bad is too strong.
No, he's not bad.
He's underachieved. And
no,
when
he was up there with Soto, Judge, Ohtani for like war last year. Now it's like he's got one of the worst war, if you like war, one of the worst on the team.
Well, if you're talking up Jaron Duran, you have to be a fan of the war statistic. He is.
He's last.
By that metric?
Of their regular guys.
Yeah, he's below David Hamilton. He's below.
David Hamilton was swinging it last
Christian
night.
Christian Campbell, Romy Gonzalez, Rob Refsnyder, Trevor Story.
Nicholas John Sogard.
He is.
Not great, Bob.
On the ESPN stat thing.
No, I see he's above Sogard.
I see them both at zero.
Oh, I see Sogard at minus 0.1.
Okay, maybe the ESPN hasn't updated. You know what?
Duran is 0.0.
Isn't there different wars? I think different sites have different wars.
There's F4 and B4.
I'm on ESPN. Whatever
difference I couldn't.
Whatever war ESPN uses, that's the one
I also don't know why Nick Sogard on ESPN is Nicholas John Sogard. He's the only one that sounds like a serial killer.
But anyway, yeah, no. Duran is on. We should add Duran to the list.
Duran's a big problem with this team right now.
I don't want to give him a free pass. He's a guy who set the tone, and I think was one of the most exciting players to watch in baseball, and it was refreshing to have a guy like that on the Red Sox. Hasn't been that this year. But what's the problem with the Red Sox? How do you fix it? You can jump in. 617-779-7937. Bob is in Londonderry. He's got a thought on the Celtics. Go ahead, Bob.
Hey, guys. I was just curious what, depending on how, if and when the season ends, let's say today or tomorrow, the next game it ends, you think they're to a degree going to use, and I'm just saying it in a figurative term, the injury to Jalen to say, well, this is the way the season went, because they really, the whole playoffs really were shaky, even when things looked good. Didn't really go well at all. And I think everyone had him as already winning this. It was a foregone conclusion. And from the beginning, I kept saying, I'm not too sure about this. I'm just curious, and given the fact last year, I kept saying they did win it. They're not the first, they're not the last, but they didn't really have any talent to go against them. That's why they won it. I'm just curious what you think the fallout might be when this all is said and done.
Okay, well, the Celtics are making changes
regardless.
Potentially either way. I found it really hard to believe, and we played a clip from Shams earlier. We'll play it again later in the show, but Shams said and reported at the time, whether they won or not, they're making changes. I personally found it really hard to believe. If they were sitting there with back-to-back titles, they would peel off big pieces, but maybe they would have.
Yeah.
I think now, Holiday, Porzingis, I highly doubt, I don't think both are back. They both could be gone off this team next year. So that's some of the fallout. I personally don't think they're trading Jalen. Does a team like OKC, and let's see what they do. They're up 3-2 on Denver. We didn't talk about them when we were looking at some of the other series throughout the postseason. Does a team like OKC, if they don't win, Keith, and they have 11 first-round picks or whatever it is, like something ridiculous like that, does OKC make a big move and say, we smell blood in the water, we're a player away? Does a team see this as an opportunity because Tatum's out for a year and the Celtics are having to tear things down?
Yeah, they should. I would think all the teams should, right? Like, there was a stretch there where there were a couple super teams. I mean, the Celtics, if you want to say, kind of started that in 08, and then there was, like, each year there was one, maybe two, where you could kind of predict the NBA Finals. Right, like, hey, I bet it's going to be Cavs-Warriors.
Yeah.
And then it was Cavs-Warriors. And then that kind of went away. And then this Celtics team, we thought, might be the next wave of it. And if that's broken up, and it already is, even if they do bring everybody back, there's no Tatum. So every other team should say, this is our chance. And Oklahoma City is an interesting case because if they lose in the conference finals, let's say, I could see them being like, wait a minute. You know, if they get to the NBA finals, they're close, they're young, so you might not want to go too crazy with the changes. Like, that group seems like it's pretty damn good and could be set up for the long haul. So, like, I think, honestly, it'd be kind of dumb for them to trade for, like, Giannis, I think. Like, if you're, like, Chet Holmgren.
Too overreactionary. And,
like, yeah, I think so. Because I think you could be set up for a little bit. But the Celtics are also a pretty good case study in you got to maximize each individual year. Right, so maybe you could talk yourself into that. Be like, that looked like a team that was going to be set for 3 years, and they're not. Like, good thing they won it year one with Holiday or Porzingis, because they never truly got a full year two.
OKC has two firsts this year, three firsts next year, two firsts in 2027.
Seven!
They have a first rounder in 2028. OKC has two first rounders in 2029.
Yeah.
And then it's kind of their own. So, like, they have multiple picks in most of these upcoming drafts. They have the means to make a move like Giannis. Giannis was probably...
They do, but where are they picking this year? They're picking, like, 15 yeah. and...
15. In fact, I think they got kind of boned on the lottery, right? Weren't they supposed to get Philly's pick, but Philly moved up? I think they kind of got boned.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, like, they have two first-round picks, but it's not, you know, it's not Cooper Flagg.
No, but they have a lot of picks to make a move. I don't think I'm not. I wouldn't sit there and draft if I were them. Like, I would pool those picks together.
Yeah.
Four or five of them to go get a player.
It's the future picks though that really get it done. Like I think because like the future picks could be anything, right? Yeah. You could have a 1.8% chance to get the number one pick, and that's that was the lore of the Pierce Garnett trade. Was it was years down the. You had to be patient, but like they could really pay off rather than like, hey, we'll give you the 10 pick this year. It's like no. I'll take my chances next year on what that could be.
Let's go to George in Rhode Island on the Red Sox. Go ahead, George.
Yeah, I was wondering about, I don't like the manager core. I don't agree with him, and I think if he left Chapman any longer, we'd have a better chance of winning. I don't know what he's worried about keeping him in, giving him another inning or two.
Okay, George, get a...
The guy is drunk!
I don't think so. I think he's just been up since the game.
Well, I was going to say get a nap in before the Celtics tonight is what I was going to say. But
I think he's watching the Red Sox.
He might be locked in on the Red Sox.
I think so.
He doesn't like how
Chapman.
He doesn't like how Cora used his bullpen. How many do you have Chapman up in front of you? How many times has Chapman gone multiple innings this year?
Oh, that's a good question.
I think it's the last five seasons, like four times.
I was going to say, I don't think it's much if he's even done it.
He doesn't do it ever.
So, thank you.
I mean, he hasn't gotten, I don't know how many times because this just says the actual innings pitched. He hasn't gotten more than three outs in any game this year.
Okay, so there you go. He hasn't even done it. That was not my issue. My issue last night was, why do you have to go to Greg Weissert for a second inning?
Yeah.
And Cora's explanation after the game was...
Liam Hendricks.
Hendricks was our only guy. Yeah. And it's like, oh, okay. Well,
we don't
want to
have a tie like the All-Star game.
You only needed three outs, so just put in the guy who used to be a closer to close out the game. And if Hendricks blows the lead, then you got to cross that bridge when you get there. Like, I don't know why you're so worried about the 12th and 13th inning. Worry about closing it out in the 11th. Tom is in Maine. Go ahead, Tom.
Yeah, I've got thanks for taking my call. I got a few ideas about the Red Sox lineup. First of all, if I were the coach and general manager, I'd get rid of Devers right now. I'd find somebody that had a good pitcher that they wanted to trade and pick up another pitcher, get rid of Devers.
We're gonna have to let you go on that one. He wants
comfortable, though.
He wants Hamilton at second base. That's
I don't want that.
Okay.
I don't want that. No, thanks. He's a butcher in the field. He finally got a couple of hits yesterday, but he can't hit really either.
You see when he hit the home run, the face he made after he hit the home run? It's like, dude. You're hitting 190 or whatever you're hitting.
He's up at 204 now.
Oh, is he?
Pimp it.
I'm sorry.
He did.
He did.
He's got to feel good. But he should not start for any team. I don't want him starting on this team.
Woo Sox?
Oh, you can start for the Woo Sox.
You want to start for the Woo Sox? Go.
Beautiful Polar Park.
Swap it up. So he's playing Hamilton at second. I guess we don't know his full plans. We had to let him go.
Campbell at first. Which I'm in favor of.
Campbell at first, Hamilton at second, but he also said call up Meyer and Anthony. So
I don't know
where they're playing.
I don't know. Outfield DH.
They can have 10 guys in the field.
Yeah.
Yeah. Rover.
Odd.
They're playing him at Rover.
But he did say trade Devers and Campbell at first, which is my plan.
Oh, that's true. He said trade Devers, so DH
I would
is
also
open. Shame
send
on me.
David Hamilton to you know, Worcester. But other than that,
maybe you could throw him in your Devers deal.
Sure, take him.
Yeah.
Speed guy.
Yeah,
want a speed guy, can't hit.
Might want him.
Can't field either.
Speed guy can't hit. Plays a lot of positions. Can't field.
Can't field.
You want him?
Awful in the field. Lost him a game earlier this year. You want him?
Nice guy.
Oh, sweet guy. Sweetheart of a man.
But you don't. You don't want to watch him play baseball.
Not bad,
but
bad player.
He's 6'7".
And just quickly on Chapman, in the last five seasons, he's gone multiple innings 6 times.
Okay. Yeah, he's not.
It's
not
like Kelly Jansen, right? Yeah. They didn't do that with him either.
That was not my criticism. That was a caller's criticism. I would have gone away from Weissert for the second inning personally. Since I would be hesitant to put him into a game for one inning, never mind two.
Yeah, it's scary.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time for
Would You Rather Wednesday.
Would you rather Juan Soto or Would you rather have a pet monkey or a mini pig? Would you rather be a werewolf or a vampire?
On Jones and Keefe.
Would You Rather Wednesday, Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. It's brought to you by Jackson Lumber and Millwork. You can visit Jackson Lumber and Millwork for all your residential, remodeling, or commercial building materials and supplies. Jackson Lumber and Millwork, providing solutions and delivering results since 1946. We'll get to Pure Hoops with Terp. He was just getting in the lab working up some concoctions there.
Keith. Yeah, we're cooking up some parlays.
Okay, nice.
Have some parlays for you later.
Nice.
Yeah.
So we'll get some thoughts from Terp. If you have questions for him, you can dial us up, 617-779-7937. Send your questions in at Jones, WEEI, at Keefe21 as well. We'll make sure to get those to Terp at high noon. In the meantime, questions here from Billy Lanny on a Would You Rather Wednesday. What do we got, Bill?
All right, first one, would you rather have Cooper Flagg or Giannis?
All right, so I think the knee-jerk reaction is Cooper Flagg because he's the next great thing. He's young. He's super young. He's
Giannis,
like even younger than most guys.
And Giannis is a loser.
Giannis is a loser.
Parentheses, who won?
But I think dismissed in the fact that he is a loser that won, Giannis is about to make his 7th straight first-team All-NBA.
Mm-hmm.
He's 30 years old. That's why I would probably lean Flagg. But I think we kind of, myself included, kind of look down on Giannis, even though he's still consistently one of the 5 best players in the NBA. And Cooper Flagg would be lucky to have Giannis's career. Giannis is a 2-time MVP.
Agreed.
I don't know if Cooper Flagg's going to be a 2-time MVP and even a 1-time world champion. Like, that is, those are big shoes to fill into.
Cooper Flagg might not be a 2-time All-Star.
Yeah, we have no idea.
You know, right, 2-time MVP is rare territory.
And like perennial All-NBA first team is nothing to sneeze at.
The answer, though, is Cooper Flagg.
Yeah.
I think. And
10 years younger.
Well, I would ask this two different ways. If you're Dallas, would you trade Cooper Flagg for Giannis?
See, if I'm Dallas, yeah.
I wouldn't.
So Dallas is dumb. But right now, they're hitched to Kyrie and Davis. We talked about if Tatum's out next year. Does Kyrie and Anthony Davis and Giannis have a better chance of winning the title or Kyrie, Flagg, and Davis?
They definitely have a better chance of winning a title, but it's also a super slim window.
You've already done that, though. You never should have traded Luka. So I'm saying most teams shouldn't do it,
but your window got larger with Cooper Flagg, potentially.
They'd get killed for doing it, but I feel like if you're really prioritizing one title, which is kind of what they did by trading Luka away for Anthony Davis— If you're going to be a bear, be a grizzly, is what they say.
We disagree. If I'm Dallas, I would rather have Cooper Flagg. I wouldn't trade it. If you're the Bucks, would you do it?
If I'm the Bucks, I'd rather have Cooper Flagg.
Same.
They are falling further and further away.
I want Cooper Flagg if I'm on either side of it. If I'm the Bucks, I want him. If I'm Dallas, I'm staying. So my answer is Cooper Flagg. But you're saying if you're Dallas, they should do it.
They should, just based on the horrible mistake they already made.
Do you think they will?
No.
Okay.
No. They're going to keep Cooper Flagg. Who also might be one of these rookies that is good right away and does help you right away.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like
the footage of him with Team USA last year
is incredible.
That's the most impressive thing he did.
Yes.
Way more impressive than anything he did at Duke.
I agree, because of who he was doing it against. Whereas, like, it took Giannis a few years. Now, Giannis wasn't the number one overall pick, but it took him a few years to really figure out who he was, and, like, he started slow.
What else do we have, Billy?
Would you rather sit courtside with Cardi B or Kylie Jenner?
Zero contest. Cardi B. Not even close.
Is sit courtside a euphemism?
Oh, well, if it is.
I don't know.
Still Cardi B.
Yeah, Cardi B would be very entertaining.
No. Yeah, she's way more. What? Kylie Jenner, does she even speak when you're courtside?
I did see she whispered something into Chalamet's ear and he laughed. So she obviously has like a joke or something.
Like, it's just, so what? I'm just sitting next to her.
I think Cardi B would be much more entertaining. Yeah.
Not even close.
Yeah, not even close.
Not even close. Good for Steph Diggs. They look like they're having fun the other day.
They look like they're having a blast, having like the best time.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
I mean, Chalamet was into the game.
Chalamet was so into the game.
Yeah.
You know what I also noticed?
Do you think he was into the game just because she's such a bore, or do you think she said nothing because he's so into the game?
I think he just knows ball, and he's super into it. But Chalamet, it is amazing to me. It's funny to me to watch some of these celebrities. Ben Stiller, who I enjoy Ben Stiller. If you see him, so he sits sort of like center court, like basically right next to Mike Breen.
Mm-hmm.
Every time the Knicks scored, he stood up and clapped. Can you imagine sitting behind Stiller and being like, dude, it's 4-2.
He's like 5'4".
Okay, luckily he's short.
Yeah.
You can still see
he's
over
super
him.
Teeny tiny.
But he's 4-2. Yeah. You see Freeze Pops was taking videos of Chalamet. We got one up on Twitch right now.
Yeah.
Like, he's living and dying by every shot, which I get. Listen, I'm a big fan myself.
She's such a bore. Look at her.
Well, she's just taking in the game.
Oh, she did whisper something. You're right.
Yeah. He's laughing. He's adjusting his hat, yelling. He's yelling defense. But what's funny to me is, as much as I love it, are you going crazy in the first quarter? It's like 14-10.
Me?
I can see in the fourth quarter.
The only time I even got remotely animated is when Mazzulla was yelling at Tatum to get up when I was at game one against Orlando.
That's true.
I mean, me? Yeah. No, I'm not clapping at anything. But
defense.
Yeah.
Defense. Yeah, like, we're good.
First quarter, no, but I will,
Cardi B.
I'll go with what Nick Costos said the other day. I thought it was a good point. He's like, I actually respect all the hardcore Knicks. They go to all the games. The team sucks. They're never any good.
No.
Spike Lee's at all these games. Ben Stiller's at all these games.
Oh, Ben Stiller tweets about it now.
Maybe the Chalamets of the world are coming out of the woodwork, but like, some of those guys are there for all these games. Not just when they're good. They're never good.
My guess is Chalamet knows what he's talking about. Remember when he went on College Game Day?
Yes.
And he was picking like Tennessee State games?
I like this. Chalamet knows ball.
I like Chalamet. He's excellent. He's the best current actor, I think, going.
Michael B. Jordan.
Ooh. Well, Michael B. Jordan's my favorite. I think Chalamet is.
Now, hang on. Favorite and best.
Yeah, they are the same.
Say it again.
One poster on the wall. Who is it?
Oh, it's Michael B.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Michael B. Jordan from Sinners, probably. Smoke and Stack. Those guys up there.
Well, but you get two for one.
Yeah.
I can see why. It's
Chalamet be in the Wonka outfit.
Yeah, Chalamet hasn't played Twins yet, to my knowledge.
Not yet.
Come back to me when you play Twins.
Okay, sounds good. Wow. What's next, Billy?
Would you rather Pete Rose or Shoeless Joe Jackson in the Baseball Hall of Fame?
Pete Rose. Are we even sure Shoeless Joe Jackson's a Hall of Famer?
Shoeless Joe is really good. And
was
he's,
he?
Well, I mean, he got blackballed.
But like, was he like a no doubt Hall of Famer?
I think so. He had a great World Series. You see a lot of people are talking about that now.
He hit 12 home runs in 1920.
Well, they didn't have fences back then, so they could just run all the way back.
It's a different game, but like, are we sure that guy was a Hall of Famer? He never won an MVP.
He led the league in
12 home runs with a dead ball.
Yeah, true.
All right, let me just give you order of MVP finishes for Shoeless Joe Jackson,
okay,
who played without shoes. So take that into account as well.
Yeah. I actually have this in front of me.
Fourth in the 1911 MVP.
Uh-huh.
He was ninth in 1912.
Yeah.
Runner-up in 1913.
Uh-huh.
And fifth in 1914.
Yeah,
and you got to remember, the baseball writers back then couldn't see every game. There's no way of them knowing every
game. I'm telling you, so he was never the MVP? Like, are we sure he's a no-doubt Hall of Fame? It's definitely Pete Rose.
He led the league in triples three times. He had the best OPS in 1913.
Uh-huh.
He had 202 career steals. He was caught stealing 81 times.
Okay, I don't love that. He had 1,700 hits.
He's like the 1920s version of Jose Reyes.
He had 54 home runs. Why is Shoeless Joe? Why is he even up for debate to be in the Hall of Fame?
Well, he did win the 1917 World Series, which calls into question, of course, what happened in 1919 Arnold Rothstein rigged the World Series.
He hit double digit home runs once. Now he did drive in .121 that year.
Dude, that wasn't his game though.
Okay, well,
plus the walls were probably 500 feet away.
Okay,
they didn't even have them. They're just big open fields they played in.
The sneaky thing that I realized
reading
about this.
How many home runs did Pete Rose hit?
I don't even think Shoeless Joe should be in the Hall of Fame. I don't get what all the hubbub's about this guy. Pete Rose should be in the Hall of Fame. Definitely Pete Rose.
Pete Rose season high for home runs. What do you think it was?
Ooh, couldn't have been high. 12?
16.
Okay, higher than Shoeless Joe.
16.
Yeah, he also was the hit king.
Yeah, but he also bet on baseball.
Okay. Yeah. So did Shoeless Joe.
Shoeless Joe, I don't think did. I think he was the fall guy.
Okay.
they pointed him because he was the best player. He was a Hall of Famer. He was a lock Hall of Famer, they said.
Betting on baseball, if they catch you as a player, you shouldn't be allowed to play again. They should still put you in the Hall of Fame when you have the most hits in the history of the sport. I'm sorry. You should be in there.
No, I think Pete Rose should be in the Hall of Fame. I'm going to go out on a limb.
No, nope.
I need to know who's going to be the fall guy.
No disrespect.
I think people are sleeping on Shoeless Joe Jackson.
I don't. I think people have been asleep thinking he's a Hall of Famer.
Well, actually, he is just a random player.
No disrespect.
He's today's random player, actually.
That Texas would be so happy.
I bet we've had random plays with better stats.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, yeah.
Juan Encarnacion might have had better stats. We had him the other day.
Juan Encarnacion is a good player. Apparently, horrible guy. We got a lot of texts after the fact. He's in prison.
Maybe a bad example.
He's in prison right now.
Shoeless Joe Hall of Fame.
Random.
Not my Hall of Fame. I can tell you that right now. They can make him eligible all they want. He shouldn't be in. Pete Rose in.
I think Bradford's friends with D.B. Sweeney, who played Shoeless Joe Jackson in 8 Men Out.
A sick brag, bro.
On behalf of Bradford. Yeah,
I was thinking D.B. Cooper. I'm like, they definitely haven't caught him, Keith. D.B. Sweeney.
I think so, yeah.
Got it. Okay. My answer is Pete Rose. Did I get an answer from you?
The Shoeless Joe Jackson.
That's who you want in the Hall of Fame?
No, Pete deserves it.
I don't get people who are so upset about Pete Rose getting in the Hall of Fame. Let the guy in the Hall. The guy had the most hits in the history of the sport. What's next?
In the zombie apocalypse, would you rather have a slingshot or a really good knife?
I'm going to need Keith to go first on that.
All right. So yesterday we had the story about the slingshot. People are saying the slingshot are killing all those birds. So slingshot would be a good distance weapon in the zombie apocalypse. You wouldn't have to get up close and personal. I also think you need to find a lot of things to be able to shoot. And I don't, like, how effective is that going to be? Even if you hit a zombie from long range, I don't think you're going to be able to, like, pierce the skin right to the brains. So I would go with a good knife. Okay. Assuming it's a good knife.
Knife, though, is you really.
Full tang.
You got to get real close range, though.
Yeah,
that's
I know.
A little scary.
But that's how you clean up. You can sneak up on them. It happens in, like, Walking Dead all the time.
Kinda,
you got to knife them in the head, then you're out of there.
I can kind of pick them off from far away with the slingshot.
You don't need ammo.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think a knife's really important. Plus, you can also cut stuff. Like, if you need, like, say there's something tied up with rope.
Why is sword not an option? Because you're a sword guy. Just that's too obvious. That's
my, too easy an answer.
Shown was way too overpowered in Walking Dead.
Yeah, okay. It was because you have all the great benefits of the knife, but you have, like, a little bit more range. So that would be, and that's a non-starter. That's obviously probably the first thing you would want in a zombie apocalypse.
Yeah,
that and spam.
So,
Lasts forever.
Dark and Stormy Nights.
Yeah.
Says it's the zombie apocalypse, Jones. Duh, it's scary.
It's going to be scary.
But it's scarier that I got to run up to these zombies and stab them. I want to pick them off from long distance.
No, and I get the point. Like, there would be rocks. You could shoot rocks with your slingshot, but, like, there's very limited. There's no damage. No damage.
Are they slow zombies or, like, World War Z zombies?
I'm thinking slower zombies.
I mean, like a fast zombie, you're not going to be able to stab a fast zombie.
You could.
Well, you can.
If you're sneaky.
I couldn't.
If you're sneaky about it. Sometimes the zombies just kind of
slow zombies. I get what you're saying. Maybe you can stab them right in the brains.
But what I'm also envisioning is that, like, if you fortify yourself behind, like, a barrier and they're trying to, like, reach through, like, a fence or, like, a blocked doorway with, like, a giant, like, bureau in front of it, all they got to do is stick their head in, then one quick knife to it. Slingshot, nothing, no use.
Yeah, but I don't have to get close range.
No, I know. But
I don't want to deal with them.
They're still coming at you.
I'm going to say. You
might inconvenience them a little bit.
I'm going to sit up on a rooftop somewhere with my spam and just try to pick them off with
eating spam.
Try to do that.
Yeah, I guess.
That's my plan.
I'm going good knife.
Okay.
Bart Simpson was barely hurting kids with his slingshot.
That's
you're going to kill a zombie with it?
Birds are getting wiped out left and right, though.
Yeah, no, they're dropping like flies.
Yeah,
I just get more to do with the power lines, I think.
Slingshot.
Dropping like birds.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's Would You Rather every Wednesday here on Jones and Keefe. You can jump in line 617-779-7937. Pure Hoops with Terp. We're talking Celtics. We're talking Jason Tatum at high noon. And when we come back, Bill Belichick. This is nice. Defending his little girlfriend. That's next.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, so I know that you're aware that your relationship with Jordan Hudson has been a headline over the last few months. And all of the specifics aside, because a lot has come out in the last couple of days, how do you think that impacts your ability to coach this football team, if at all?
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, really off to the side. It's a personal relationship, and she doesn't have anything to do with UNC football. I'm excited to be back in the coaches' meetings and getting ready for, you know, June and then August when we get to training camp. So June will be a big recruiting month for us, and then August we'll start getting ready for the season.
She is my muse, my flame.
Bill Belichick yesterday on ESPN, apparently part of the ACC spring roundup. A bunch of the coaches were making appearances.
Get him in there.
Very nervous questioner of Bill Belichick.
Yeah.
She dipped a toe in, asking about Jordan Hudson. She was shook. I hope Strahan is a little more ready.
I think he might be more comfortable.
But Bill says, well, you know, that's really a personal relationship, and Jordan has nothing to do.
He's not on the field or anything.
With UNC football, to which, I mean, number one, I think is a lie. Maybe now she has nothing to do with it anymore, based on Pablo Torre's reporting last week. But at one point, she was quite involved. She's getting CC'd on emails, and she was stomping around at the spring game. So to say she has nothing to do with it is just a lie. At one point, she certainly had a lot to do with it, too much to do with it.
He did say personal and professional relationship.
He did say that.
But I guess Bill Belichick Enterprises is different than UNC football. I mean, I guess there is a difference.
It is.
You know.
I wonder how his muse and his flame in South Park parlance.
Yeah.
I wonder how she's feeling about
his idea mill.
Bill on
She's my muse, my flame.
Bill saying on national TV, she's got nothing to do with UNC football. And really, I mean, she's just not even a part of this. I wonder how she handles that.
Or maybe that was all her plan. Maybe everything he says is from her, and she's like, let's throw him off the scent.
I don't think so. He's hired a new PR guy.
Yeah,
the guy who used to work for the Bears is around. He's been hired by, again, is it officially UNC football? I'm not sure what his official title there is, but he hired another outside PR guy, officially, not rumored anymore. He's hired him. So, yeah, I bet she's not happy with any of this. She's turning down, reportedly, Dancing with the Stars. She's not allowed to stamp around at the spring game anymore. Bill's not bringing her to interviews, kind of shooting down that she has any impact whatsoever, a role with UNC football, B. So, yeah, I wonder how she's feeling about all of this.
It is weird, though, because he does sort of answer it, right? Like, we've seen Bill give non-answers a lot.
True.
And just sort of be like, just kind of snort at you. It's happened to me. He just kind of snorts at you and then kind of moves on. You're like, all right, I guess we're asking something else. So he entertains it more than you'd think that he does. But, yeah, he's trying to distance her from the football team, which I would imagine North Carolina has been urging him to do for a while. But we'll see. I mean, we'll see what happens. We haven't heard the last from her. I'd be shocked by that. That'd be something else.
You asked me this yesterday. Do you think, we were doing some of the props from Bet Online.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you think we see her at the GMA interview?
No.
Me neither.
I think even their missteps would be, that'd be too much.
She'll be there in New York or wherever they're filming. Like, she'll be somewhere.
In the green room.
Maybe.
Pacing.
But, she'll be present probably. She's not going to be sitting there shooting down questions on the side while Strahan's firing them off.
Or maybe
Bill
she'll
Belichick.
Put, a wire like they did with Jose Altuve, and she can just shock him when she doesn't, an answer question.
Good thinking.
Like,
yeah.
Bill, you all right?
Yeah.
No, just next question. Next question.
They did that in Saving Silverman, too, I think.
Yes.
They did that.
Definitely worked.
Famously at the date. I don't think it worked out very well.
No.
Do you think Strahan dabbles in any of this? Like, at least she dabbled in it in the interview yesterday. She asked about Jordan. The name was uttered. Do you think Strahan does that?
I think he kind of has to. I think it's just too big of a story. There's the big write-up in the Washington Post about Jordan and this whole thing. I don't think Strahan, honestly, would probably really want to. I'm sure Strahan would love to talk to him about football and kind of bust his chops about the Super Bowl in 07 and sort of do a football interview. But he does work for people. They're going to be like, hey, we have this guy on. We probably have to do this.
He also should have, some pride somewhere along the lines and be like, well, it's a massive
topic.
Story. Yeah. It needs to be asked.
Yeah.
Like, I know he's, not, a real hardcore Big J journalist. Neither are we. So that's not a shot. But, there's a responsibility to ask about big stories in a setting like that. I'd imagine he has some pride to ask the question.
If you only had, say, 5 questions to sit down with Bill.
Yeah.
Like,
what the hell are you doing? That's number one.
It has to be
if you could really have a real conversation, what the hell are you doing? Number one.
I think you sort of soft shoe it. You sort of start out with a North Carolina based question. You can kind of pivot that into the NFL. Like, do you want to be back in the NFL? Then you kind of go into your book. And then I think you sort of mention Kraft in there too. And then you probably have to get to this Jordan story. It's become such a big national topic.
And the follow up there in that interview, And who knows? I mean, maybe it was agreed upon. You can ask a question. Don't press me on it. Yeah. I'll answer it as long as you do that. But otherwise, it's going to get ugly. I mean, I don't know how it was negotiated behind the scenes. But, and I bet it was negotiated behind the scenes.
Yeah.
But the follow-up question is, all right, she has nothing to do with UNC football anymore? Or she never had anything to do with UNC football? Like, did something change?
Right.
Would be a question that Strahan should try to get into when Bill sits down with GMA on Friday.
Friday. Yeesh. Well, so we'll have that, right? That's what time's that show on? And I assume 8, 7, 8, 9, somewhere there.
Well, here's the good news, Keith. If the Celtics, like many of you feel, are about to get eliminated, they have no shot without Jason Tatum. I mean, we'll spend some time reacting to the game tomorrow for sure. Yeah. Pick up the pieces.
But Friday,
we got the Patriots schedule coming out. That's a full-on reaction tomorrow, and then the Bill interview on Friday. Yeah, exactly.
It's always busy around
Lots
here.
Of stuff for us.
Always busy.
You know, there's always material out there. 617-779-7937. You can climb aboard. We'll get into some of these schedule leaks for the New England Patriots about an hour from now. And top of the hour, let's check in with Terp. Pure Hoops, High Noon, next.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.